I'm glad Brother Bud's saved. We couldn't put up with him if we wouldn't. Amen. Good to be saved. Good to be born again. Good to be back in church tonight. And I appreciate all the Lord did this morning, last night, and what He wants to do tonight. I left the room this evening after spending some time alone with the Lord, and I'm not boasting to say that. I believe all my heart, God wants to do something special tonight. I believe this, if we'll obey God, will be a life-changing night for somebody in this service. It may not all come to fruition in one night, but God will start the ball rolling tonight. I believe He will. You just follow through, and God will bring you into what He wants for your life. You know, let me just say this. I've done got this started. When I get in my car, of course, you know how cars are. Now the headlights will come on automatically. But my headlights will not shine from the parking lot to the motel room. But I don't need them shine that far. And I pull out, I've got light to pull out with. And I take a right, I've got light to drive in. Take a left down on the four lane, I've got light to drive in. If you walk in the light God gives you, before you run out of that light, you will find the lights on down the road in front of you. You can't, and don't try this now, and act dumb and stupid to do it, but you can't run out of your headlights driving your car. Don't try it now, Brother Harvey. Don't try it, brother. I know you like to do what the preacher said, but don't try it. So. But you understand what I'm saying? We don't need directions for 100 years down the road, even 10 years down the road. Now, brother just got through testifying, and other men have indicated too. There are some things in life you don't see now. And God oftentimes interrupts what we think is the will of God. Paul wanted to go back to those churches in Asia in Acts 16. And the Holy Ghost said, Was it God didn't want the gospel preached to Asia? He had just told us going to all the world and preach the gospel. That's not it. But it wouldn't have been God for Paul to go back.
Amen.
Paul, being the hyper fellow that he was, like some of us, well, if I can't go to Asia, then I'm going up to Bithynia. I think that's where you pronounce that. And God said, no, boy. Why? Did he not want those Bithynians to hear the gospel? Sure he did. Hear what I'm saying. When God closes a door, He's got a bigger door.
Amen.
And a better door for the glory of God. It may not be bigger human-wise, but He's got something else for you that He wants to do for the glory of God. I hope I got your attention. I hope you listen. Let God speak to your heart. I'm reading. I'm going to let you stay seated. I'm reading three passages this evening. So I want you to turn to your Bible, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Again, thank all the missionaries for their testimonies. And thank the ladies for a wonderful meal today. Good service. Pastor Sexton's done a good job leading us. And I praise the Lord for him. I appreciate you, brother. Thank God for you and for all of you that are here in the service tonight, both members and visitors. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, I'm going to look at verse number 19 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 and verse number 20. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe I can almost hear the Apostle Paul raising his voice as he begins this passage. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let me make two statements and we'll not come back to this tonight. You know how we stand on the King James Bible. I believe every English speaking person that's right with God uses the King James Bible. You say, preacher, I don't use one. I'm talking about them that's right with God. Amen. We're not going to change the Bible. But can I just, my job is to relate the meaning of it. So if I were putting this in today's language instead of saying where it says, know ye not, I would put with great emphasis, don't you know?
Yeah.
What? Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? He goes on to say, glorify God. You're not your own, you're above the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Now flip over to Ephesians chapter number 5, if you will, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'm reading just verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible said, are you ready? The Bible said, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I'm sure not the smartest person in the building, but it seemed to me like that says, Brother Sexton, that if we don't know the will of God, we're not a wise person. Be not unwise, but be not unwise. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. One more passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now look at the rest of the verse. Here's what I'm interested in. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to preach tonight from that last phrase, on the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I remember preaching years ago, back when I was still really doing more evangelism and less missions. I was preaching up in the state of Virginia. And the Lord gave me this preacher that night, and I've used it a lot of times. I've probably used it here since then. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it tonight, and then you'll understand what I'm talking about. How many got a right hand? Raise it up. Now, don't hit anybody, but make an imaginary mark down the side of you right there. All right? How many got a left hand? Raise it up. Do the same thing. Now, the message I'm preaching tonight is between those two marks.
Amen.
You just made. But Mike, in that service, a lady had requested prayer down in the prayer room. I want you to pray, ladies, that God will make the message personal to me tonight. I knew nothing about it. And I got up and God gave me that. Now, I want to be serious and I want you to let God speak to your heart. God has a place, a plan, and a purpose for your life.
Yes.
If I could explain, if I were asked to explain, what does the will of God mean? To me, that's what the will of God is. None of us are accidents. None of us are just like a piece of dead wood floating across the water. But God's got a plan.
Amen.
God's got a place. And God's got a purpose for every one of us.
Amen.
And God help us not to be ignorant in that area, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to just, I'm not pointing out nobody, but I start over here, Brother Williams' son, Brother Williams. I got it right in there. And I could come down the line and point every one of these young men, young ladies, moms and dads in the face with my finger. And I could say, you come on over, Brother Chad. God's got a plan. God's got a place. And God's got a purpose for you. I don't care who you are. You might say, well, preacher, I'm not even saved. God's got a plan. God's got a place. And God's got a purpose for your life. And the greatest thing you could ever learn in life is to find out what the will of God is for you. To find it is a great achievement. But then to fulfill it is the greatest accomplishment that there is in your life. And I want to say to you tonight, the will of God is not just some mystical expression that God uses in the Bible. Can I say to you, number two, the will of God is not just something for preachers. The will of God is not something, are you listening, that is beyond your comprehension. Now listen to what I'm saying. I won't point out anybody. But pastor, if a 12-year-old person is saved and will seek God's will, God can reveal His will to a 12-year-old on that 12-year-old's ability to understand. Amen? Amen? But we grow in the knowledge and grace of God, and God's able to speak on the 40-year age level. So I don't care who you are, wherever you are, there is the will of God concerning you right now. January the 31st, or just the 1st of February, whatever day it is, 2019, there is, God's got a plan, God's got a place, God's got a purpose.
Amen.
No doubt some of you sit here and have listened to all these testimonies. These men found that place. Not saying families, I should say, but found that place. Found that purpose. Found that plan. And you sit here wondering, wonder what God wants with me? Does God have a plan for my life? Am I left out? No. Your plan for God's plan for your life may not be a foreign missionary. That may not be in the ministry, but there's a whole lot more to be done in the service of God than just preaching. And by the way, we preachers are no more important than the smallest, youngest church member there is in the church. I'm grateful, Brother Sexton, for the esteem that I get, the honor that I get. I thank God for it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the church and your respect for me. But I'm no more than any person that's built it. I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God, sealed with the Holy Ghost, headed for heaven with a hammer down, and glad God put me in my place and showed me what He wanted me to do. But I found in Ephesians 5, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now by the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I want to help you understand God's will tonight. Again, it's not just an expression. Not just a saying. God's got a plan. God's got a place. And God's got a purpose. Let's see what the Lord will say to us. And you listen and pray for me, God, to give me discernment to know exactly words to say. In studying the will of God and understanding the will of God, in my studies, and I surely don't know it all, some of you might add to what I'm fixing to say, but basically, there are three things that we need to understand the will of God. I'm going to divide it like this and deal with it in the message tonight, the Lord willing. First of all, we must understand there is a public or printed, public/printed will of God. Second, we will learn there is a progressive will of God. And thirdly, we're going to learn that there is a personal will of God for your life. I'll be very brief on the first one because it's something we all understand. Let me say to you, what I mean by public, I mean it's for everybody. What I mean reprinted, I mean it's in the Word of God. And by the way, if it's taught in the Word of God, when you rightly divide the Word of God, then it's God's will you do it. You don't have to play about doing what God said. God's not going to change Himself. He may change you. But I'm saying you, God has a printed will of God, and it's for every individual. You can preach this out later, but I want to just give it to you. It's a printed public will of God that every sinner be saved.
Yes, sir.
He's not willing that any should perish. Can I slow down just a moment and say this before I move on? I know this is a mission meeting, but there's no telling how many lost people are sitting right here in this service tonight. And if the will of God is done, probably even tonight before you leave this service, you'll be saved by the grace of God. Amen. It's the will of God. It's not the will of God you walk out of this building lost tonight. It's the will of God you come to God with repentance and faith and receive Him, and God will birth you in the family of God before you leave this building. That's God's will for you. If you're here unsaved, then after we're saved, it's not only the will of God that all sinners be saved, but it's the will of God that all saved people be separated. You don't have to pray about separation. I know that is a sad tune to be played in a Baptist church in our day, but I read it in your scripture. Well, the Bible said what? It does not say, no, you're not in your heart. Your mind. But your B-O-D-Y. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, we're reading Romans chapter where verse number 1 and 2. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that teaches God will never show you His will until He gets sin out of your life. If you will not follow God in separation, you wouldn't follow God long in service. But it's the will of God every sinner be saved. It's the will of God every saved person be separated. That's the will of God that every saved person be spirit filled. It's the will of God that every saved person, separated person, spirit filled person, serve God through the local church. I'm not condemning mission boards when I make that statement. I'm not even striking them at all. I'm saying God's organism is the church, and the church is first and foremost in our service of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, you don't have to pray about whether you quit sinning or not. Do not pray about going to church. Do not pray about tithing. Do not have to pray about being baptized. Anything this Bible teaches, when you rightly divide the truth, if you're saved, somebody in you says, that's the way to go. Do it for the glory of God. And if you surrender to me, then you say, yes, Lord, I will for your glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a printed public will of God. Number two, there is a progressive will of God. Now, I quoted the scripture a moment ago. We're not going to turn there because everybody knows it. But in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, There are three words describing the will of God. That you may know what is that. That you may prove what is that. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That does not mean God's got three wills and you can get in one of them and be okay. But it teaches us that there is progression in growing in the will of God for our life. I don't think I'd have any discrepancy. The good will of God is to be saved. The moment you turn from your sin to your Savior, you step into the good will of God. But then he uses the word acceptable. Acceptable will of God. Dear brother, I can't call the name now, but this is your son, correct?
Yes, sir.
How old is he?
He'll be 5 soon.
He'll be 5 or soon. 4. He's up in 4. There's nothing wrong with him. As far as you know, he's in good health. If I would ask you, how's he doing? What would you say? Say it out loud.
He's doing good.
Doing good. But now, wait a minute. What if he stays like he is? In 10 years, you bring him back here. He hasn't grown. He hasn't learned. He hasn't changed. We wouldn't have to wait 10 years. I'd say, how's he doing? You'd say, preacher, there's something wrong. And you know what he just told me? This boy is living in the acceptable range for a 4-year-old. There is an acceptable range for baby Christians. But it's not the end there. That's the beginning.
Amen. Yeah.
But we are taught in the Word of God to grow. G-R-O-W. Grow, 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 grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And we should grow in the will of God because God will reveal more of His will to us as we progress on through our lives. I hope you listen to what I'm fixing to say. It is totally impossible for you to have been in the will of God and be doing the same thing now and not be in the will of God. Do I need to explain that? I think I'm drawing a silence. Let me use my own life just a moment, and most of you can identify what I'm doing. 16 years ago, I was 60 years old. If you had asked me, Brother Bud, Brother Blue, are you in the will of God for your life? I'd said, sure. But within a few weeks after that, harvest time was dumped into my lap. The broadcast. So now the will of God is not just me doing what I was doing at 60. The will of God is enlarging. The coast is enlarging. I tell you, God expects more out of us in the will of God, in the service of God, as we grow and mature in the work of God. Progress in it. Yes, this word will be saved. You know, most Baptists, most independent Baptists, they're like, some of them got, they used to call it helicopter religion. They get saved, get set right, and shoot straight up, and then they just level off and never go no higher. But this thing of the will of God is constantly enlarging. It's increasing. Bigger. Well, I've been saved 40 years and I'm still like I was when I started. You just told me you haven't grown in it.
Amen.
I don't care how dedicated and consecrated and blessed you've been in days past. I'm saying there's a possibility even right now doing the same thing. You're coming short of the will of God for your life. Growth. Acceptable. 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 Unto who? Unto God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm sealed. I'm glad I'm sustained. But I'm telling you, I've been saved now since 1951. That's about 67, 68, 69 years, somewhere along in there, 68 years, 67 years. And there's more required of me now than there's ever been in my life. If I back up 20 years and do what I was doing then, I am missing some things in the will of God. There's a progressive will of God. Can I just throw out two or three things tonight? Especially you young people. Thank God you're saved. Thank God for this. And I'm not pointing out these boys, but they're sitting here on the front pew and they're scattered back. Thank God for these. But you're not arrived. You've not reached the pinnacle.
Amen.
You're good for where you're at. But I'm saying to you, there's much more to comprehend on down the road. There's the good will of God being saved. There's the acceptable will of God, which is growth, progression. There's the perfect will of God. Now look at me just a moment, and I know this is contradictory to what we hear a lot about. The word perfect will of God does not mean to hit the bullseye. I am guilty. I've got up and said, boy, that's a perfect will of God because it looked like it worked. Come on, don't act like you understand me. The word perfect here is the same, comes from the same Greek word, and I know that don't interest you, but it comes from the same Greek word as those the words that Christ used when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. Tetelestia. Tetelestia, something like that. The word perfect here, listen to me, means continuing this growth until you reach a complete outreach of God's will for your life. Encompass everything God has planned for you. I'm among country folk. I can do this and you'll understand it. If God gave me a 10-row planter, I don't want to run through the field planting two rows at a time. And I sure don't want to run 10 rows through the field and no seed in half the hoppers. What I'm trying to say is none of us will ever arrive until we get ready to leave this world. But God help us to expand, to enlarge our coast, to stretch out farther, to touch everything God wants us to touch with our life. So we learn there is a printed public will of God for everybody. There is a progressive will of God. The good, the acceptable, the perfect, the completed will of God. But then there's a personal will of God. Now stay with me, please. Hear me. Are you listening? If it's sin, it's sin. It's sin. It's sin. Pastor, there is no such thing as it being sin for you and not sin for me. If it's sin for you, it's sin for your members. Sin for church members, it's sin for missionaries. I'm not relating to that at all. I'm not relating to that at all. I'm not talking about sin. But the personal will of God is manifest to us in the area of service. We've heard men here today, and I have no reason to question anybody. Let's give a testimony. I don't mean to even indicate that. Brother Mike, you told us the will of God is for you to go to Arizona, no, Idaho. I accept that. You told us you were going to wherever. I accept that. I accept that. I accept that. Because in reality, that's not my big worry. My worry is to find out what God wants for me. As my dear friend has said through the years, get a divorce from public opinion. Don't be influenced by what others think about you, but find out what God wants and do what God would have you to do. Now, let me just say two or three things, and I could preach an hour on this. I'm not going to come down to the last one and deal with it. But I believe there's a will of God concerning you and your church. I don't think you ought to join the church of your choice. I think you ought to join the church of His choice. When you get in the right church, God wants you in. And I'm not asking nobody to leave. When you get in the church God wants you to do, can I use a Tennessee expression? You'll fit in. And you won't be in conversation about what they done, what they done. Boy, they didn't. No, it's we. You ought to be a part of a church, a member of a church, where you're part of it, a living, integral part of it. Not just a bystander, not tiptoeing around the water's edge, but get in. Be a living, vital part of the function of that local church. Years ago, I was preaching this in Illinois, camp meeting, and I preached, I don't remember what I preached. It was in them days I was mean as a striped snake and shot at everything that moved. If it wouldn't move, I'd kick it and didn't shoot at it. You know what I'm talking about. I still get that way once in a while. I got through preaching. That pastor got up and he said, "Now, I want to tell you folks something. We at Fellowship Baptist Church believe what that preacher preached. And if you don't believe it, there's 43 more churches in town. Maybe one of them believes what you believe. And if you can't find one out of 43 believes what you believe, there's a vacant lot down the street here. Any name, where's that? Go down and start you one." I don't advocate that last one. But there are good people who don't believe and behave like I do. I'm talking about more than the behavior, but we believe the Word of God. I'm simply saying to you, God will put you in a church. They may not agree with you. You may not agree with them at the beginning. But God puts you there for a purpose. And He and His will conform you to the doctrines and teachings of that church. And God's moved a lot of church members for that one purpose. To let them get some teaching they're not getting otherwise. And get trained in doing that. But there's the will of God. Especially if you're thinking about moving from one church to another. Don't let anything weigh in on your heart, but is this the will of God?
Yes.
I wish I could stay there a while. Number two, I'd say to especially all you unmarried people, there's a will of God concerning you and your companion. I remind you, God did not take a rack of ribs from Adam and tell him to make his choice. Took one rib. Made one woman. God made a woman for you. Girls, God made you for some man. It's not any, meeny, mighty, mo with which one of these do I go. God's got one for you, and you'd be better off to wait. And you'd be better off to be an old maid at 30, and I know that's not old maid age, than it would be to be a divorcee at 24. But the right companion is worth waiting on, and God's timing is always right, whether we agree with it or not. Then number three, there's a will of God concerning your career. If you're here tonight and you're weighing a change of career, God will provide you a place to work and make a living and finance your family and stay faithful to church if you'll seek His will. If you're 50 years old, you better not quit your job. You may have a hard time getting started in nothing, but I'm talking about your young folks. You pray, let God teach you the trade He wants you to be involved in or the work He wants you to be involved in. And do what God wants you to do, and God will let you make a living for your family and be faithful to serve Him in the church as well. But I come to the final, and I want to put a little bit of emphasis here, and then I'll be through. In this understanding the will of God, the personal will of God, not only is there a personal will of God concerning you and your companion, you and your church, and you and your career, but there's a personal will of God concerning you and your calling. God calls men and families to serve God. I gave you two passages of Scripture. One of them, I'm going to give you another one. Acts 16. Paul wanted to go back to Asia. Turn over just a minute. Let's look at Acts 16 just a moment. Acts 16. Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 6 through verse number 10. Acts 16. The Bible said, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and the region of Galilee, of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach a word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing on by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, I want you to hang on to that. This happens in the night. God don't speak and work in dreams anymore. He goes with the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But here is a situation. I don't know, Pastor Hammond is in Paul's crew, if I could say that. We know Luke's with him because he changes to we endeavored. We know Paul's there. But alone with God, waiting on God, seeking God. God showed Paul, I hate to say this, but I got to be honest with you. Number one, what he felt wasn't right. He felt like going back to Europe. What he wanted to do, we'll get real quiet now. Wouldn't the will of God?
Yes.
You better be careful when God closes doors.
Yes, sir.
God bless the person who can learn to accept God's closed doors.
Yes.
I don't. This is not a stone I'm casting, preacher. It's just a lesson that I learned, and I think we need to realize. We shouldn't be too hard on somebody if they think they're going somewhere and something happens, they don't get to go.
That's right.
It happened to Paul. Who's going to exalt above themselves above Paul? His dreams didn't come true. Just because you've been thinking this, just because you want to do it, just because maybe you've been there before, doesn't mean it's God's will.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean it's not God's will, but I'm simply saying to you, we don't operate on the past. God has every right, and God wants us to yield Him the right to do a, can I use the word, a dictating of our life on a day-by-day basis. Sometimes it's hard for pastors, and I pastored for years, and I know that, Brother Sexton. I get tired of preachers jumping fields, but sometimes it's hard for us to accept. Well, somebody didn't get where they said this going. But Paul was well enough, close to God, real enough in his walk with God, that when the Holy Ghost said, Paul accepted it. And when he waited on God and he sought God, God opened a much more larger door. And can I say on my behalf and your behalf, thank God for this missionary changing fields. Thank God for him waiting on God and him taking orders from God. And you know the story, sounding to Europe and the gospel wound up coming to Tennessee. And I got saved because of one man. Realize his desire was not God's will. But he waited and he sought it out. And he found it. Now, I'm addressing you young people, and I don't mean to be embarrassing them at all. But you young fellows are surely not too young at all now to be seeking God's will for your adult life. You young men, and I'm okay to speak to them boys, aren't I? I'm not just talking to these boys, but they're sitting here in front. But remember, fellas, God made a girl to be your wife. Wait on her till God brings her to you. Amen. I say to everyone, and God's got a plan, a place, a purpose. It may be if you do what Pastor Sexton's done, you may pastor this church someday. It may be you'd be like Brother Lockhart, an evangelist. You might be a missionary. I don't know what it is, but wait on God, but start seeking God now for what direction He'll give you. Never step of light He gives you, step in it. Keep walking in the will of God. I hope and pray that numbers of people, I'm not talking about 3 or 4, I'm talking about 20 or more in this crowd tonight, will go to their motel room or go back to your house and get with God. Lord, am I in your will fully for what you want out of me now? If I'm not in your will, show it to me and give me grace to do it. And Lord, if it's forsaken my dream and my desires, have me to forget me and mine and realize that yours is always more important than mine is. You say, but preacher, what if I miss the will of God? I want you to listen to me, please. We saw where Paul missed it. In his mind, he wanted to go, he missed it. So, who else is greater than Apostle Paul in the church dispensation? But here's three things I want you to take. In the will of God, there are three ways of God manifesting if it's right, if it's wrong. Number one, the Scriptures. The will of God will never lead you contrary to the plain truths taught in the Word of God. Amen? If there's a question mark whether it's Scripture or not, stay away from it till God gives you assurance from the Word of God it's the right way to go. Number two, not only there's the Word of God, the Scriptures, but number two, we can know the will of God by the Spirit leading. And again, I want to say the Spirit will never lead contrary to the Scriptures. But He has a way, as we've heard testimony tonight, of showing up in the nighttime, showing up in the daytime, and nudging, thoughts, impressions. You know what I'm talking about. But number three, God not only will use the Scriptures, God will use the Spirit leading, Scriptural teaching, Spirit leading, but God can use situations and can handle situations. Our brother testified earlier about the law down in the somebody down in Bolivia. Who's going to Bolivia? I don't remember which one it was. But anyway, wherever back there. You're the one said it. Is that not right? The law. The old time preacher used to say, some of you have been here long enough to know this. The old time preacher used to say, if God told me to run through that wall over there, my responsibility is to run. God's responsibility is to make a hole in the wall. Not my responsibility to kick a door open, but it's my responsibility to be heading toward the door. And God can and will do it. a story I picked up somewhere down the line, and I'll close with this. There was a young man who had an uncle who was a mariner, I believe is the right word. He was captain of a ship sailing back and forth from America back over to England, back and forth. And he had a nephew who idolized him. And all of his life when he grew up, he wanted to be like Uncle Bill. He wanted to handle one of them boats and go across back and forth. He grew up, never got away from it. Got into a teenager, got into high school. And his uncle said to him, I tell you what I'll do. He said, I done talked to your daddy, I cleared it with him. You make good grades the first year of high school. There's 4 years of high school back then. First, second, third year. And between the third year and the fourth year, I'll take you with me on a trip. And I'll let you see firsthand what it is to sail a ship. And I'll let you get a taste of life out on the sea. Didn't see what you think about it. The time came. They boarded, loaded the cargo, they boarded, sailed out. After a few days and nights, he was corresponding with his uncle during the daytime and, of course, sleeping at night. And then he said to his uncle, said, we're almost to the shore, aren't we? They'd calculate how many hours, you know, this trip was supposed to be getting there. And his uncle said to him, son, we should land shortly after midnight. We should reach land shortly after midnight. And we've got a busy day tomorrow, so you can't stay up all night. You go up to the bunk and go to bed and go to sleep, and I'll wake you up when I see the beacon and lights of the towers of the harbor. He did that. His uncle had him woke up, brought him up there, and he finally got his eyes open to look, and he looked in the distance, and he had studied. You can't just pull a ship into any area into that dock. There is a channel you've got to come in that's deep, for the big ship to come right up to the dock. The young boy got to look and he said to his uncle, he said, wait a minute. I've always heard of just one course into the dock. But there's three lights. Which one are we going to follow? How do we know if we're on the right course or not? His uncle said to him, look at this. And he started turning the helm. And as you turn the helm, those three lights begin to do this. And he said, son, when all three of them lights line up and become one, your own course, full steam ahead. When the scripture teaching, the spirit leading,
amen,
and situations are not three, but they become one. God's directing you into His will. I believe I need to say this, and if you will, young lady, come on up to the piano. I need to say this, preacher. I'd be wrong, I'll just say it that way, not to tell you this. Finding the will of God is not always easy. It's not because God don't know it. Brother Mike, I believe it was probably you, I'm not sure, but I believe it was you and your testimony made this statement. You see, if you find something easy and start doing it, then when you get over and start having trouble, you're going to wonder, was God really in this or not? But boy, God sometimes will veil His will, Brother Harvey, and let us wrestle and labor with Him and sometimes fast and pray until we know, we can look back and we know God revealed it to us. And you'll need that strength,
yes, sir,
when the time of testing comes on the mission field. I could talk to every man of God in here. I could talk to Pastor Sexton. I could talk to Brother Harvey. Talk to Brother James. Anybody in here. I don't care where you're serving God. There are times the question arises up, boy, are you sure you're in the will of God? You think God's in this? Sometimes God keeps us in that valley of decision and undecision long enough to confirm it in our soul. It is the will of God, regardless of what comes in our life. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll use the message tonight. You need to come and pray about anything, you'll be obedient to God. God's got a plan.
Yes, sir.
God's got a place. And God's got a purpose for you. For you. Sometimes we get the idea that it's the will of God that the preacher's boys be preachers or the preacher's grandsons be preachers. Sometimes that is true, but sometimes that's not true. And there are those who surrender to preachers. They have no preaching history at all in their descendants. God don't have to have an assembly line producing preachers. God does every one of us on an individual basis. And His will. Don't accept it lightly. Don't accept it lightly just to make a statement tonight. But let God work it in your heart.
Amen.
God has a plan. God has a place. And God has a purpose for you and your life. Several are praying. If you need to come, you'll be obedient to God. We'll not linger long. Be obedient.